You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
All right, welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are live on Periscope, YouTube, and Facebook. You can search Dynasty Happy Hour and click to subscribe. Hopefully this popped up on your Twitter feed as well, so you can sit here and watch us. Throw us some comments, some questions. We'll try to get to them as we can. Please don't forget to check out DynastyHappyHour.com. There's a new shop just posted with brand new shirts. We've got IDP Power Hour shirts, Devi Happy Hour shirts, as well as multiple styles, selectable styles for you Fortnite fans of DHH gear. Loving it. We've got a big show tonight. We've got fantasy news. We've got our stats and stuff segment. And we've got awards. We've got our 2020 fantasy awards with Tim Keller, Tyler Gunther, and the fantasy father himself, Doug Eddy, is in the building. Boys, what it do? Tyler, how's things in Minnesota?
It was 86 degrees today. And guess what tomorrow's going to be? Guess what tomorrow's going to be? 56.
I was just going to say
30 degree drop. 30 degree drop. The next day, it's going to barely hit 50. And then you know what's going to happen? It's going to be 70s.
No. You're going to get snow.
No, it's going to be 70s because that's the weather. I had somebody at work tell me, like, do you remember when we had seasons and it just wasn't like a jumbled bingo?
We still have them. They're just day to day. They used to be in blocks of months.
Yeah.
You have like a 3-month spring, like a 4-month summer. 2 or 3 months of fall, and then you'd have the winter.
Now it's just daily.
It's ridiculous. But no, I'm excited for the cold weather because cold weather means football, and football means happiness. And I'm so pumped for Thursday. I'm so happy. And Doug, in UDPL, I only made that trade for Clyde Edwards-Helaire just so I can get a piece in that game on Thursday. That's the only reason why.
I need somebody going Thursday night.
So I decided to go all out and trade for him.
That is a very Tyler move. Tim, what's new in Pennsylvania?
It's about the same as it always is right now, this time of year. Nice and warm, a little humid. My sister is a teacher's aide at an elementary school. One of the kids' parents has tested positive. So my sister is in quarantine. So my wife and I took some food up to her house this afternoon. My wife's idea. I just kind of stay out of other people's business. I was like, you know, only bad stuff happens on the way home, flat tire. It's a life lesson.
I want to thank Trophy Smack. So when you start your league and upgrade your league today, you can do it with a trophy from trophysmack.com. They've got trophies, belts, rings, grills. Is that right, Tyler?
They have grills. They have teeth grills.
Really? I'm going to look like, what's that dude, Jody? Riff Raff.
So speaking of like looking like rappers, today my daughter, she has curly hair. The hair color in it. She looked like that Tech N9ne rapper or whatever his name is. The
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yes. She looked like him, like with the colored hair.
Now you need to get her a grill, and then she needs to go in and get some face tattoos.
Yes, that's simple. That's the easy part.
Tech N9ne, Kansas City, Tekashi 6ix9ine, New York.
I mean, I'm not. I don't know.
Is that what she's going to be for Halloween? She's going to be Tekashi 6ix9ine. She's going to be Snitch.
Well, first we got to get those tattoos figured out and appointments, of course. They're probably
a small
busy
child
right now.
Walking around with 6ix9ine on their face. Probably not the best look.
Yeah, probably not PC.
Yeah,
probably not at all. Just make sure you use code DHH ring to get a free $60 ring with the purchase of a trophy, grill, ring belt, whatever. So we've got some news. I know a lot of people were really psyched about this guy. Lynn Bowden traded to Miami for a fourth and a sixth from the Las Vegas Raiders. He was a third-round pick in this year's draft, and I know a lot of people were drafting him in rookie drafts somewhere, usually in the mid to late third or early fourth. What do we think of this? And the Raiders also cut Theo Riddick, so is it Josh Jacobs in the passing game season? Tim, I'm going to go to you because you just drafted him tonight in redraft.
I 100% did. Just wrapped up a draft just before we went live, actually a few minutes into us being live. But yeah, I think that the Raiders saw everything they needed to see from Josh Jacobs this offseason. You know, any concerns they had with him coming off of last season with the limited usage in the passing game, he made them feel all warm and fuzzy. And the Raiders are looking to just get him involved in all three downs. And he's going to be an absolute stud workhorse running back going forward.
Yes, I love that. What do we think about this? So they say that they want Lynn Bowden to be a wide receiver. Now, their typical slot receiver is Albert Wilson. He's opted out of the season, and he's getting a little long on the tooth. Do we see him as a guy that maybe could be a slot receiver? He'd have to kind of learn a new position. He was a quarterback, led the SEC in rushing last year. I think he's a developmental project, and I don't know. I think it could be a couple, 2 or 3 years before he even might become something. So I'm not really stoked. I kind of like him better as a running back. I think it's an easier position to learn than wide receiver. What do you think, Tyler?
Well, the thing is, at Kentucky, he was a receiver and then went to quarterback. They used him in multiple positions. So he actually came in as a recruit as a receiver. Then, you know, they had some injuries at quarterback and was like, you know what, this guy's super athletic. He doesn't need to throw. So let's just throw him at quarterback. We can run this triple option, the Georgia Tech style offense.
The trap.
And honestly, I think it's the right move. A lot of people wanted him to be a wide receiver coming in and wanted him to do that for the Raiders. But the Raiders decided to put him at running back, which I think probably had him confused, and he looked terrible. I mean, a guy like that that's never, you know, pass protected is going to struggle, and you expect him to be a third down back. He needs to be able to pass protect, and throwing him in like that, yeah, he's going to struggle. And I honestly think that they gave up on him a little early, but if he's not fitting what you are seeing and what you expected of him, I get the move. I mean, you lost capital. You traded for a fourth, and Raekwon McMillan was a part of that trade, quote unquote, because they got the trade back. But Raekwon McMillan is a great middle linebacker. He just has trouble to staying healthy. I think that's actually a good move for the Raiders too, because they have nobody at middle linebacker.
Well, speaking of nobody at his position, besides Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, I pulled up the Dolphins depth chart. Their current wide receiver, Isaiah Ford. Yeah, they got Jakeem Grant, Malcolm Perry, and Mac Hollins, former Philadelphia Eagle.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the move for the Dolphins. And when it's funny because you hear about the move at first and they're like, oh, this is going to hurt Matt Breida. Well, he's a receiver now. So Matt Breida and Jordan Howard are perfectly fine. I, like you said, Doug, I think it's developmental. If he can produce anything or shows anything, it's a good sign for the Dolphins, because for that much of a capital, I think you're not really giving much for the Dolphins. But the upside is huge for this guy.
Yeah. So let's get into some player cuts and signings that matter in dynasty circles. So yesterday by 4 p.m., everyone had to be down to the 53-man roster. We saw some practice squads start to really shake out today. So we've got a clearer picture on where these guys are going to land or if they're going to have a job. So, you know, typically when I don't overreact, like if someone gets cut, like I don't immediately go into my dynasty roster and get rid of them. I usually give it a little time to see if they land on a practice squad and things like that before I completely give up on somebody. The biggest news was Leonard Fournette finally decided to sign with a team. There was a lot of teams rumored, New England, you had Buffalo. But he decided to go with Tampa Bay. So really muddying up their backfield with Ronald Jones. They ended up cutting Dare Ungabowale. LeSean McCoy made the team, so they're carrying those four running backs. I don't know how to really approach this. I traded for Leonard Fournette in a league that Tyler and I are both in, because I was like, you know what? His value's super low after he got cut. I traded 1 year of AJ Green at $36 and got 3 years of Leonard Fournette at $15. So I figured I'm pretty deep at wide receiver. I was like, you know what? We'll see what happens. I'm kind of excited that he landed with Tampa. Although I think he's probably going to split work with Ronald Jones. I mean, we won't know until really they start playing the games. I think Rojo gets to start week one, and then they work Fournette in. Tyler, what's your take on the whole Leonard Fournette to Tampa Bay? Not only for like real life football, but from a dynasty perspective.
Honestly, I just think I'm out. I want nothing to do with the guy. I want nothing to do with where he is or where he's at. Rojo, I feel, is a huge buy now because he's left for dead. And I was actually off of Rojo just because his price was getting a little too spendy for me. I think the move here, though, Tim's going to agree, Keyshawn Vaughn is dirt cheap. When he was a late first round pick.
Oh, I forgot about Keyshawn Vaughn. Whoops.
Don't forget about Keyshawn Vaughn. He's still there. He's going to return kicks for them. Yes, Bruce Arians hates rookies. I think he hates them more than anybody. And maybe more than Bill Belichick.
Nah, I was about to say, I don't know. Bill's pretty tough.
It's very close. It's like they're hitting heads over it. Just like, come on. I hate this rookie.
I can
more.
Hate rookies more than you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. They're just back and forth. Man, I think Keyshawn Vaughn, like I said, I mean, drafting him at 112, early second. Now you could get him for like a third next year because people are leaving him for dead. Honestly, that's the biggest buy for me because he's a best pass catcher still on that in that backfield after Dare got cut. Vaughn's the best pass catcher by far, and I think he's going to start winning that role. Tim, you sit there and you roll your eyes. Fournette's not a pass catcher. If you've seen Fournette, no, Fournette
is. I don't think they have a route running back. They don't have a true. I think Keyshawn Vaughn has the best hands. I don't know if he's a good route runner, though.
Well, Fournette's not a good route runner.
No, nobody is.
And Rojo, we all saw the video of him running around. It was crap. So, I mean, I think Vaughn will actually work his way into more of a role mid-season. And I think the PPR upside will start hitting by like week 10 or 11 for Vaughn. So I love the move of buying Vaughn.
I'm not trying to roll my eyes at Keyshawn Vaughn, though. Don't get me mistaken. I don't
you put that evil
any of those running backs in Tampa Bay are, you know, Austin Eckler's, James White's of the world where they can go out. Christian McCaffrey's obviously can run routes and just with their route running beat coverage.
Oh yeah.
I think that's the sharpest take. I totally forgot about Keyshawn Vaughn, and I think buying him dirt cheap is a great move, Tyler. So I think if you're listening out there, throw out some offers. You never know what you might get back. People get frustrated really easily when they spend a first-round pick and then he's buried on the depth chart. So they can maybe like, you know what, I'm just cutting bait and I'm done with it. And that's the kind of moves that you want to make when you can. We also had another veteran running back that was cut. It was Adrian Peterson was cut by the Washington football team. Kind of a surprise cut. He said he was surprised and everyone was like, oh, like Darius Geis, we all know, got cut, you know, and everything. So it looked like AP was going to be the guy, and they cut him. And he wasn't out of work for too long. He signed with Detroit. Now, this move just made me so, I don't know, salty. I want DeAndre Swift to win that job, and he still could, but he missed a lot of practices. Kerryon Johnson forever hurt. I just feel that like AP is going to come in and get touches in this offense. So, Tim... just like keep buying Keyshawn Vaughn, do you think this is a nice little window to go out and try to buy DeAndre Swift, who I know Tyler loves very much?
You can try. There might be a slight discount. I think people that believe in Swift got Swift in some very good value spots in their draft because of how heavy this running back class was up top. Unless you were in a draft with Tyler where he was taking him at two, essentially. So I don't know if there's going to be a ton of discounts there for DeAndre Swift.
Maybe as the season goes on would be the move.
Yeah, probably after week one or two, if he just can't get on the field. Because, like you said, he missed a lot of practice. Word was that Kerryon was looking very good, came in the best shape he's ever looked in his career. He was ready for this competition. But the Lions made a smart move. They understand that their highlight reel rookie is injured. The guy that has come in looking very good, Kerryon Johnson, that's awesome, but he's also always injured. So, you know, it's an insurance policy for them. On the other side of the coin, this now gives that window to Antonio Gibson. His stock's shooting up through the roof. So if you got Antonio Gibson in your draft, you know, and maybe you just absolutely didn't love him, but you thought, hey, I'll take a flyer on this guy. Now's the time to sell. Also, second year guy, Bryce Love. Let's not forget, at one point in his college career,
he was a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, people were saying this guy could be a rookie 101. for dynasty leagues before an injury. So the kid absolutely has some game to him. He has knee injuries coming off of. So if he's healed, I think these two could do a lot in that backfield.
Tyler, what's your take on the Washington football team? I know you like Gibson. You tried to get him from me in a league that we're in.
Yeah, a little too
late.
I was like,
eh. I spent a fifth round pick on him because his IDP rookies and whatnot. So I was like, you know what? Like, I think I'm going to hold on to that lottery ticket for a little bit longer.
Yep, that sucks. but honestly, Gibson, if he hits, he's going to hit big time. He's got the athletic profile, the upside. Somebody in the Pigs 3 League is trying to pry him off my hands, and I'm having a hard time doing it because of that upside, the upside that you see, and the fact that the price that he wants for CeeDee Lamb is a little steep for my liking, but that's beside the point. I want to go over to Swift because, I mean, all over Twitter, what irritates me is my first thought was like Alvin Kamara started this way with AP and all his Twitter's all over it. So I like Tim said, I don't think you're getting that discount. The Swift owners are smarter than this. They know what they have. They know the profile of player they have on their team. So honestly, if you have Swift, you're obviously holding. You can't sell because people are going to try to lowball you and just pry him from you for cheap. Swift ain't getting pried for me. Doug, I traded Akers and CeeDee Lamb for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and AJ Green in UDPL. And and Shane was trying to get Swift instead of Akers. And I said, you would never get Swift because I have him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire pretty, pretty close. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, my value on Swift isn't changing. He's banged up right now. I think they're being cautious with him because it's closer to the season. And they know what they have in Swift. And AP and Kerryon do not scare me. AP does not scare me one bit. I think they want, like, they saw what he did with Gibson, and they want him to kind of talk to Swift the same way and talk to these two young running backs. Because I'm not going to exclude
Kerryon. Three young running backs. There's Bo Scarborough, too.
I mean, come on. I mean, Kerryon is still young and super talented. He's just super hurt. And, I mean, he's got the bionic knee brace now. And yeah, I think honestly, he's just brought in for more of a morale and probably get some carries against the Vikings, those revenge carries. You know, how that's all you're going to hear the narrative when they play the Vikings is the revenge game. Oh, here God, it is.
The revenge game narrative. It is almost time for the season when you start to get the revenge game narrative. Long enough,
it's no longer revenge.
Yeah, that is very, very true. So just a quick wrap around for running backs that were moved during player cutdowns and signing. So Kalen Ballage, he almost got traded to the Jets. He failed his physical. He went back to Miami, and they cut him. The Patriots cut Lamar Miller and J.J. Taylor, who actually had a really nice camp, and J.J. Taylor was signed to the practice squad, so he's still a part of the organization. Really fun player. Kansas City cut DeAndre Washington, which I know one of their beat writers speculated earlier in the week, and people were kind of surprised by that because, you know, he went to college with Patrick Mahomes, and DeAndre Washington was actually pretty good last year for the Las Vegas Raiders. But he lands back on their practice squad, so he's still a part of their team. We had Mike Warren cut by Philadelphia.
Who, again, also some good reports at an Eagles camp was making some good power runs.
The big news on that, though, is Corey Clement makes the roster.
Yep. Got to have something with Corey Clement in the news, and he is showing up. What is he, running back two for that team or one? I'm really confused.
I think he's one, you know. Absolutely. Yeah. Dexter Williams was cut by the Packers. Tyler, I know he was a Notre Dame guy, and you would like some Dexter Williams, but he is rookie year, didn't do anything, and then obviously didn't do much to impress. They drafted A.J. Dillon. They still have Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. So Dexter Williams is out. No word on any practice squads for him just yet. And a bit of a surprising move, Reggie Bonifon was cut by Carolina, which makes Mike Davis the two. I like Reggie Bonifon a lot. Just one of those like freak athletes, and he flashed in preseason. He had a long 50-yard run last year too. So kind of surprised by this, but I guess Mike Davis, you know, he's a veteran. He's more versatile. I think Mike Davis isn't bad either. I think that either of these guys are almost free in your dynasty leagues. And I think everyone assumes like, hey, Christian McCaffrey is the Terminator. Guy never gets hurt, but if you pick up Mike Davis, he's probably the incumbent starter there. So go check your leaves for Mike Davis. And we'll see where Reggie Bonifant ends up. If he ends up on the practice squad, I would
you give up a fourth, and God forbid, but Christian McCaffrey gets hurt in week six, and all of a sudden you have a guy that's seeing 16 to 20 touches a game.
Yeah, and Mike Davis was pretty good in the passing game for the Seahawks, too. I think he had 35 receptions just a couple years ago. So, that's kind of the roundabout running back news. If you guys want to throw in any commentary on any of those moves, feel free right now.
No,
let's get to these receivers because one of these guys, I was just talking to somebody about, hey, whatever happened to that kid Arizona drafted because he's on a milk carton.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to him in a minute. So Corey Coleman got cut by the New York Giants for the second time.
Yep.
Patriot legend Corey Coleman, by the way. Laquon Treadwell was cut by the Falcons. So just a couple of receivers from the same class, not really making their way in the NFL. Like
imagine that draft class. Like people were like,
first round guys.
I had Corey Coleman and Treadwell ahead of Derrick Henry. And imagine.
At the time, the rage was build around wide receiver, build around young wide receiver.
That's true.
Treadwell was dominating. Corey Coleman, small school, but just looked like an absolute monster.
Yep.
Josh Doxson.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
There's busts all over that first round.
Oh,
It's absolutely ugly.
So that just ruined the podcast.
Yeah. So Treadwell got cut. It's Russell Gage season all day. Yes. Hopefully you picked him up in your dynasty league. If not, if you listened to us, you would have picked him up last year. I have him on a ton of squads for free. So I'm loving that. Robert Foster got cut from Buffalo, and he signed with the Green Bay Packers.
I like
this move a lot too, because there's no clear cut number two in Green Bay. I know they say Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a good camp. They cut Jake Kumerow, who I know a lot of Dynasty people have liked over the years. Mm-hmm. They still have Equanimeous St. Brown. They have Alan Lazard, who I think is their number two. But, there's not a lot of quality on that depth chart. I've always liked Robert Foster. What he did in 2018 was awesome at the end of the season to help people win their fantasy championship. And then 2019, he's another milk carton guy.
He was a big time high school kid coming into Alabama as well, man.
Yeah.
Four-star recruit. He's got that prestige behind him. So if he can put it together, he's in a decent offense now.
Yeah. He could be the deep threat for them because that's how he used in Buffalo. He's a really good deep threat, a guy that knew how to use his big body to work the sidelines. Yeah. Really good receiver. Just like, I have no idea what happened in Buffalo. No idea.
Yeah, so strange. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not going to speculate. Yeah. And then last but not least, certainly least, Hakeem Bustler.
This hurts.
Cut by the Arizona Cardinals, and they haven't even signed him to their practice squad yet. So
I know people were saying he was the receiver one in this class, and I was telling you no. I was telling you it was A.J. Brown from day one. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to do this, but, they hit camp last year, and it was just the whispers. He don't have it.
His tape was so dominant, though. Iowa State tape was insanely dominating.
He would run fast downfield and catch about 50% of the passes thrown as well.
He was also good after the catch. That was my thing. Like they put him on screens. The dude was 6'5". He had good wheels. But yeah, like you said, the writing was kind of on the wall. He had a late breakout age. He was 23 coming in. Those older receivers that have late breakout ages, they have a harder time hitting in the NFL than usual. And if you guys ever wonder how to use breakout age, there's how you use it. If you have a guy like Bryan Edwards who broke out at like 13, 19. it seems like
2 years old.
Yeah, it breaks out so young and still dominates in the SEC. Mm-hmm. That's how you use the breakout finder app. And that's how I've used it is like, you sit there and you're like, wow, damn, this dude was dominating at a young age against adults, like 22-year-olds in a major conference. That's good. I'm going to keep my eye on him.
I don't own Hakeem Butler anywhere, fortunately, so feeling pretty good about that. And then last but not least from the cuts and signings, Miami tried to trade Josh Rosen for a solid day or so, didn't get any takers. They cut him free, wasn't claimed on waivers today. And then he signed with Tampa Bay's practice squad. I actually like this spot. So I was hoping last year that the Patriots would make a move and try to get Josh Rosen, and they didn't. So now Tampa sees like, all right, he's been cut. He wasn't claimed on waivers. They can sign him to the practice squad. So he's making like not a lot of money. So he's not really going to count towards their cap.
Or his dad got him.
But he's going to be on the same team as Tom Brady. So who better to learn from than Tom Brady?
I think Rosen is a very cerebral player to begin with, and you're getting to play with one of the most cerebral quarterbacks there ever was.
Yeah, so it's an interesting pairing. You know, Brady signed a two-year deal there. They don't really have anything behind Brady. Blaine Gabbert, I think, is the backup. So maybe Tampa's like, you know what, let's take a shot and see if Rosen, I mean, if Brady leaves after next year, Rosen will still be only like, what, 26 or 27? Like, that's not terrible. So I'm really interested by that. I'm not cutting him off my dynasty teams. If anything, I'm probably going to add him if I could in a super flex league if someone cuts bait on Josh Rosen. Yep. So, yeah. So I like that quite a bit. So I just want to let you know that this week there has been some support. And I'm not talking underwear. I'm not talking bras. I'm talking the support of Manscaped. Because that's who Dynasty Happy Hour is brought to you by. They are the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. They offer precision-engineered tools. That's right, boys. For your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. They've redesigned the electric trimmer. They spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. Just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. It's got an LED light. It's got a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. Just a brilliant way to actually trademark that one. And you've also got a beautiful bag that it comes with. So you get a carrying bag. You're going to have a battery that lasts up to 90 minutes. You've got skin-safe technology. It's ceramic, so it's not really going to hack you up at all. It's going to be nice and smooth. You can use it on your chest, wherever else you want to shave, your face. You can use it everywhere.
I used it yesterday.
Prove it.
I'm due for another chest shave.
Multiple spots, and it worked fantastic. The LED light, I told my wife, I said, it works phenomenal.
Like, Tyler now only shaves in the dark.
You could see everything.
It's like porn in HD. You can see everything. Yeah, that's right. So make sure you go on manscaped.com, use code DHH, and trim that junk of yours, you beast. All right. Let's go to our fantasy awards. Fantasy, mind you, not real life, so don't at us. We're going to go position by position. These are the categories. We're going to have least to beast, the best rookie, and MVP in fantasy this year at the position. So let's start with quarterback. We've got least to beast. Now, I'll kick it off because I'm listed first. It's alphabetical even. Wow, look at that. My least to beast this year is Gardner Minshew. So Gardner Minshew, you may have picked him up if you were in super flex leagues and he was on your taxi. He became a starter. You might have picked him up on your team. I think Gardner Minshew is going to throw the ball some 650 to 700 times because that Jacksonville defense is just putrid now. You know, there's no more Jalen Ramsey, no more Calais Campbell, no more Ronnie Harrison even because they traded him. Telvin Smith decided to walk away. Like, the A.J. Bouye is in Denver. Like, they are just absolutely depleted defensively. And I think that means Gardner Minshew is going to toss the ball quite a bit. And I low-key like the weapons on Jacksonville with DJ Chark being the alpha, Laviska Shenault being the rookie who's going to come in and make some noise, I think. And they've got Chris Conley, who Tim's always liked, Keelan Cole, who I've always liked. So I think Gardner Minshew is set up to go from least to beast because I think he ran for the fifth most yards as running back as well. So he's got some sneaky Konami code quality to him. I look at it this way. If Blake Bortles can do it and finishes a QB1, GD it, Gardner Minshew can too. So he's my least to beast this year. Tim, who you got?
Well, mine, I thought this was pretty easy for me. You know, Tyler got to the script first to put his names in before me, and I'm glad he didn't get this guy. Matt Stafford. He only got to play in 8 games last year, but was on pace for about 5,000 yards, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 38 touchdowns. And I'm thinking he's going to stay healthy this year. We talked about the rookie running back he has there, along with Kerryon Johnson and along with Adrian Peterson. Let's not forget he's got some good quality weapons on the outside. He's got a fantastic second-year tight end in TJ Hockenson that everybody absolutely loves. I think Stafford is going to come in. He's going to be lights out. He's going to play 16 games. We're going to see that 5,000-yard season. The Lions, if they want to, they could throw 50 times a game. You know, we're talking about the guy that's a QB 15 in DLF ADP. I think that's an ultra value for a guy that has the ability. We saw it last year, and I think the team has gotten better since that time last year of 5,000 yards and around 40 touchdowns.
I like that call quite a bit. Matt Stafford is an awesome QB2 in your Superflex leagues. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So, Tyler, you got a guy that I like a lot who I think I know in my redraft leagues didn't get drafted in my 10-team 16-round league. So, Tyler, talk to me about this man.
Yeah, Jared Goff is my pick for least to beast. He had an off year last year. I still believe in the Rams offense. They got rid of Brandon Cooks, but they got the man Van coming in as a rookie to do some damage. I mean, he's like a Robert Woods clone. He's a Robert Woods clone to me. Robert Woods is so underrated. You got Cooper Kupp coming back fully healthy, and you got somebody who can catch the ball. Somebody who can catch the ball at the backfield, Cam Akers. Mm-hmm. Cam Akers is going to be able to catch the ball in the backfield. He might not get that start right away, but he will dominate into the season because he is such a good weapon out of that backfield. Higbee, I think, is the dude at tight end. I know Doug doesn't like it. Everett was getting shopped during this cut season. So honestly, I think Everett is going to take a back seat to Higbee. Higbee is going to get like 70 catches. He's going to be that PPR man. Thank you for that trade, Doug, and UDPL. Love it. But no, Jared Goff is my buy right now. And I mean, he's behind Sean McVay, who's a brilliant mind. And we all loved Goff until last year. Now he's just left for dead. So Goff leads to beast.
I like it. So now we're going to move on to the best rookie quarterback. Tim and myself have the same exact player.
Wait, he's here too?
Yeah. So, Tim, why don't you go ahead and talk about our best rookie quarterback?
Well, the very first quarterback taken in the NFL draft, the very first player taken in the NFL draft, Joseph Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals. The camp reports have been nothing but glowing for this young man.
Glowing.
Just the Bengals are, as an entire unit, as an entire franchise, are reinvigorated because of what they're seeing from this guy on the practice field and in these scrimmages. And let's not forget, last year, the guy threw for over 56. That is 5,600 yards in the SEC, 60 touchdowns with only 6 interceptions. He did this in the greatest college football conference in America. It is not the NFL, but it's the closest thing you can get in the college system to the NFL. Yeah, this guy's going to struggle like all rookie quarterbacks do, but I think it's easy to say that Joe Burrow could easily walk away as the best rookie quarterback this season.
The funny thing is everybody's talking about, he's going to throw lots of picks. If he throws 15 picks as a rookie and throws like 25 touchdowns, I consider that a win.
That's not
because you can learn from mistakes. And
look,
I think
Peyton Manning's rookie season, he had more interceptions than touchdowns.
I mean, honestly, I think 15 is like the high for Burrow for picks. I think that's going to be his ceiling. I agree. I like the Burrow pick. I love Burrow, but man, my pick is more tantalizing. Doug, do you want to talk about your pick, Burrow, or should I go on to mine?
No, you can cover it. Tim covered it. You're good.
Mine is Tua. And I mean, Tua is going to be special. I was kind of worried about the injury and had him closer to Herbert in season. But man, like watching the tape from camp and just seeing how calm, cool, collected this man is, even in training camp with all these pros and vets, and their defense is nothing to kind of turn at. Their defense is completely changed. Their defense is going to be good. Flores has turned that team around, and I think Tua is going to help turn that offensive around. Fitzpatrick's probably going to start for a couple games, and then I think Tua's got that. I mean, once Fitzmagic does his infamous 4-pick game, Tua's going to come in. Yeah, Tua's... Yeah, I mean, week one, Fitzmagic's going to have like 5 touchdowns, 400 yards. He's going to have a rushing touchdown in there. And then week two, he's going to throw 3 to 4 picks. And then week three is Tua's season. Tua's going to come in, I think, sooner than later. And I think he's going to dominate from day one.
I like it. So let's move on to our fantasy MVP awards. I've got Dakota Prescott as my fantasy MVP at the quarterback position, just set up for success all around the field. The offensive line, maybe not quite as good as it used to be, but still a really solid unit. He's got Zeke. He's got Jarwin. He's got Cooper. He's got Gallup. He's got Lamb. He's in a contract year, so he is about to get paid some fat stacks, over $40 million a year. So that's why I'm going with Dak. I think he's set up, and I could see Dak throwing 40 touchdowns and rushing for, you know, 300 to 400 yards with multiple scores on the ground. I just think he can put it all together, and he doesn't turn the ball over very often. He can put it all together and be the fantasy MVP for you.
Yeah. So my MVP at the quarterback position is going to be Mr. Unlimited, Russell Wilson. I think the upside's unlimited with Russell Wilson this year. He threw for his second highest total for yardage of his career last year at 4,100. We saw DK Metcalf, as the season progressed, really start to mature, really start to learn the route tree, really became integrated in that offense for the
second
half.
Wait, he can run routes? I thought he couldn't run routes, Tim.
he started to show that he
runs a couple of them.
Yeah. He doesn't run the full route tree yet by any means. Let's not get mistaken. He is not all of a sudden a Antonio Brown or a Stephon Diggs-like player, but he runs a few routes, and he runs them very well. He has an amazing size advantage over most people, has a great speed advantage, and Russell Wilson targeted this rookie over 100 times last year. I believe it was 101, if I remember correctly. But Russ, at 4,100 yards last year, 31 touchdowns, 5 picks, I could see them getting him around 4,800 yards. Let's get that touchdown total up around 38. And with Russell's ability to run, he's been slowing down on his running as of late, you know, the past few years. But if he runs for another 250, 300 yards throughout the year, Russell Wilson could be the fantasy MVP at the quarterback position.
I sense a theme here with Tyler's pick. We've got mobile quarterbacks.
I mean, the whole entire DK Metcalf thing, I was completely joking. You look at his reception perception, and it's green a lot of places, and he runs a lot of routes. My pick is going to be Kyler Murray, and I think bringing DeAndre Hopkins in doesn't mean Hopkins is going to get his amazing over 150 targets. I just think it gives Kyler Murray more of a security blanket, and which he didn't have. His weapons were very limited. Very limited last year.
Mr. Limited.
Mr. Limited. No, Kyler Murray has weapons everywhere now. And Isabella's taking a step. They got the postman, fantasy footballers, shout out there. Dan Arnold at tight end, who's apparently breaking out in camp. And I mean, you got Hopkins, Christian Kirk, who everybody likes, and you got Kenny and Drake out of the backfield, who is going to work better than David Johnson did in this offense. People are going to be more scared of the run. So I think Kyler is going to take a gigantic step forward. He's going to be the fantasy MVP of 2020.
I like it. So let's go to the running back position, everybody's favorite this year. We've got our least to beast, and I've got one. He's least because he was a super big disappointment last year. It's Le'Veon Bell. I know the reports out of training camp and Adam Gase, you know, he was running with the second team. I think this is all just like a little bit of a spat, but I think Lev Bell is going to come in and not get you Pittsburgh Lev Bell. But when I say beast, I'm thinking 1,500 yards from scrimmage and double-digit touchdowns for Le'Veon Bell this year. Improved offensive line. He's going to get a lot of targets there. You know, they've got Frank Gore behind him, you know, the corpse of Frank Gore. LaMichael Perine hurt his ankle, so he's not going to be a factor at all. So yeah, give me some Lev Bell as my least to beast. Tim, you've got a player that's near and dear to my home.
I do have a player near and dear to your home. It is Damian Harris. I mean, we want to talk about least to beast. I don't know how close he's going to get to beast, but I don't think he can get any closer to least than what, 4 carries, I want to say he had. Something like that last year.
He played like 7 or 8 snaps all season.
Yeah, so very, very limited usage last year by the New England Patriots running back. But there was talk that it looked like he might have been sneaking in on taking the starting role away from Sony Michel in this camp that they just came out of. So Damian Harris, I think, is in line for a much, much greater workload this year. And I think you're getting him at super, super value. Right now, you know, there's people that are still completely miffed by the lack of usage last year. If you had some interest in him last year and somebody else drafted him away from you, go put out an offer, because I'm pretty sure most owners are still thinking, man, this, until I see it, I just can't believe it. So go see what you can get Damian Harris for now, because this could be a guy that's going to be the lead running back in New England. It's not that going to be that sexy, but he could be the starter.
Yeah, he's currently got a broken pinky finger on his hand, so hopefully he'll be active coming up here on Sunday. That would be nice. Tyler,
he's going to have that Julian Edelman's type pinky. You know, that really messed up style pinky.
Like Torrey Holt.
Edelman has. Yeah.
Torrey Holt's got that bendy finger. I think it's pointing.
He's going to have the booger. He's going to have the booger finger.
The booger finger. well, what's not like literally a booger
finger. The Brian Baldinger finger, too.
Yeah.
The dude on there. Baldy's got it, too. All right, Tyler, you've got a player that plays for your favorite team as your least to beast.
I mean, Todd Gurley. And the funny thing is he had 12 touchdowns last year, and we're talking about least to beast.
Right. Yeah.
The guy, if he can get the 15 to 20 touches a game like Atlanta's talking about, is going to be dominant for fantasy football. He's going to get the touches, he's going to get the catches that matter in PPR. Todd Gurley is severely undervalued to the point where I think he's such a value in dynasty even that I'd be looking to go out and buy. I mean, tell me this, could you go out and trade Antonio Gibson for Todd Gurley?
You could probably get Todd Gurley plus.
Yeah. And that's
right
sad.
Now. Yeah.
I mean, if you are a contender and you're sitting there like, I could do that. You can go out and get Todd Gurley, win the championship this year, and have your league payment money for the next 3-4 years just because he made that move. Yeah, you might not have Antonio Gibson. If he doesn't pan out, you win that trade easily still. Yeah. If he pans out, I mean, you have this league for free for 4 years.
Yeah.
You won. You're the championship. Mm-hmm. So
they can never take that away from you, as they say.
That's true. It's on the trophy that you got from Trophy Smack. So Todd Gurley wheels up. He's going to have a heck of a year. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one, too. So let's move on to best rookie. I've got Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts. I think it's going to be week one. They play Jacksonville.
Oh my God, he's going to destroy.
I think that Marlon Mack, you know, they'll give him a couple carries to start the game. Then they'll bring Taylor in, and all it's going to take is one drive by the Colts with Jonathan Taylor against the Jacksonville Jaguars to cement Jonathan Taylor as the starter.
Yeah,
I think he has the potential to run wild against Jacksonville in epic fashion.
Yes.
And I think he sustains it, and that's why I have him as the best rookie running back this year.
Miles Jack is going to be sitting there in the middle and be like, hey, Ngakoue, go. Oh, crap. Well,
Miles Jack does not play middle linebacker anymore. He is now an outside linebacker.
And well, he's going to be like, hey, Jalen, Harrison, God. He's going to be all alone, and he's like the only good player. And I feel so bad for him. I mean, CJ Henderson, better hit for this team. Otherwise, that
Joe Schobert and Josh Allen, that's the Jacksonville.
That's true. They got Schobert. Right.
Yep.
Well, this is an IDP show. There's another channel.
Okay.
But we all love it.
Yes.
So my rookies, I actually wrote down two. The first one I wrote down was CEH because, I mean, well,
obviously. Let's go.
Yeah. So I thought that one was too easy. So I went with another pretty easy one, honestly. Antonio Gibson, we talked about him earlier with AP cut, with Geis cut. I think he and Love are getting ready to have big, big seasons. But we're talking about a guy just last month's ADP on DLF. He was going off at RB40. Geis, who had been cut by the team already, was still going higher than him in dynasty drafts.
That's bonkers. Yeah,
I don't understand this. So Antonio Gibson, he's athletic. He's 6'2", 228. The guy's got everything set out in front of him. He's got great pass catching ability. One of the guys in the chat said earlier that they believe that Love's probably going to get the first crack at running the ball. And I agree with that, but Antonio Gibson's going to get mixed in as well. And with his pass catching upside, I think Antonio Gibson's just an absolute steal here. And if you got him late in your rookie drafts earlier this spring or even later in the summer, congratulations. You just gained a ton of value.
Wait, yes, Doug, yes. And I did in trade at X7, third round.
There you go.
Fancy that. Tyler, who you got as your best rookie? I think if anyone knows you, they might anticipate this one.
I mean, it's still DeAndre Swift for me. I see major fantasy upside coming week three. I do think they're going to be safer with him. AP, they're going to have him and carrying the load for a couple weeks. And then Swift is going to be fully healthy. He's going to come in and he's going to dominate. going to be just so insanely dominating for this team that they're going to be like, it's yours. Like, it's going to be an Alvin Kamara-esque party. Let's go. DeAndre Swift, I'm not scared of this whole entire AP signing. I mean, wherever AP go, it seems like somebody else comes out of the bushes and takes over AP's spot and becomes fantasy relevant. So this year it's going to be DeAndre Swift.
I like it. I like it. Let's move on to MVP. I've got the aforementioned by Tim earlier this evening. Josh Jacobs is the fantasy MVP at the running back position. I think that Jacobs, you know, they cut Theo Riddick. They got rid of Bowden. They still have Jalen Richard there from a pass-catching standpoint. I think Jacobs is going to get 40-plus receptions. And if you look at his yards after contact and a lot of his metric numbers last year, he was awesome. And I think Josh Jacobs is going to be awesome again, and he's going to be the fantasy MVP in 2020. Tim, you went chalk on this one.
I mean, until proven otherwise, and
Tyler
and I really brought this up months and months and months ago about how the 101 doesn't stay the 101 very long in this game. And, and you know, all chalk here. Christian McCaffrey has been the 101 for about 12 months at this point now. But until proven otherwise, I'm going to stick with it, man. The guy had, nearly 2,500 yards, 2,400 yards, something like that last year, 19 touchdowns.
Over 100 receptions again.
I mean, there's been a little bit of rumor I've heard about them wanting to try to ease his workload back. But for who? Who's taking the workload?
Mike Davis?
No, they're not going to do that.
Curtis Samuel, they're going to make him a running back.
They could make him a scat back type, but I mean,
skip it up that time.
Christian McCaffrey is the absolute stud RB to have, and I think he's got the easiest path to become the MVP at the running back position.
All right.
I mean, and if you're looking for another least to beast quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater is a fantastic pick.
There you go.
Tyler, now, my MVP for running back is Saquon Barkley. I had somebody at work tell me he's scared of Saquon. He's like, I'm really nervous about him. I'm like, really? How? I'm like, tell me a running back that has come out of college into the NFL that has the it factor like he has. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he's just like, I'm like, honestly, I could probably say Zeke maybe. And I think he's more talented than Zeke was coming out of college. AP maybe. I would say AP is probably the closest thing I would have to talent-wise coming out of college. Saquon was hurt last year, high ankle sprain. That's serious for a running back. Saquon depends on his crazy athletic ability, his agility to get away from players in the open field. He couldn't do that quite good in middle of the season because of that high ankle. Well, guess what? It healed. End of season, what did he do? Destroyed. He murdered teams. Like, there's still wanted posters for this man after week 16 and 17.
For the mass murder of defenses.
Just look for huge thighs and you should be able to find
him. Yeah. He's on a squat rack somewhere, you know, putting up like 750.
Yeah, easily. And honestly, Saquon, I think he's finally going to get passes. Daniel Jones had trouble, it seemed, throwing out into the open to Saquon. Well, you know what his coaching staff's going to tell him now? Hey, dummy. You've got an all-star running back out here, wide open. Dump it off. Who cares? Just throw it to him and let him do his work. I think he's going to have 70-plus catches this year. He's going to be close to McCaffrey. And honestly, I could see him beating McCaffrey and being the 101 this coming season.
Tyler, you mentioned the high ankle sprain, and it seemed like until that offense really found its footing there in New York last year, you know, he was banged up that entire time. And then, like you mentioned, by the time he finally healed up, the offense kind of had formed what it was going to be. And you saw the very end of the year last year. So yeah, I think you have a very good one here.
Awesome sauce. All right, let's move it to wide receiver. We're going to pick up the pace here a little bit as we're falling a little bit behind, but that's okay. We're having some good conversation. So my least to beast is Diontae Johnson of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, led rookies in receptions last year with 59, had 5 touchdowns with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph at quarterback. Big Ben is back. Big Ben is healthy. They're getting some nice rapport here at training camp. Well, now the training camp is pretty much over, but I'm loving everything I'm hearing about Diontae Johnson. I love what I see on the field. He creates separation with technique, a lot like the DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Browns. The, you know, these guys aren't super athletic or fast, but they're just good at what they do. That's Diontae Johnson. So he is my least to beast. I think you know, you can probably have Diontae Johnson maybe in the 75 to 80 in startups. I think he's a top 35 pick next year.
Yeah, I would not be shocked. That's definitely in the possibility and the range of outcomes for him.
Yes, sir. Tim, I'm still confused at this one. Are you changing it or are you going with it?
Oh, no, I'm not changing this at all.
How is this a least? I don't get it.
Listen. At this time last year, I mean, I know the hype on Godwin was just an absolute barn fire.
At its apex.
But Mike Evans was still considered, you know, this alpha dog receiver. We saw his counterpart surpass him last year. Some people are super, super down on Mike Evans now. Not like super, super down where they're like dropping him off rosters or trading him away, but his value has definitely dropped in the past 12 months. So we saw him see his third lowest total of his career last year without a injured season or his rookie season or the other two seasons that were lower for yardage for him. He only had 8 touchdowns last year. He now has one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game and a receiver that this quarterback used to play with, Mr. Randy Moss, when he got to New England, had a monster couple of years. And I think Mike Evans is in line for something along those lines. So I wanted to take that 2007 Moss season where he had 1,493 yards and 23 touchdowns. And say, right there it is. Mike Evans could have 15 plus touchdowns this year with that big frame, his leaping ability, his strong hands. You get inside the 20 and just let Brady toss him up and let Mike Evans go do his thing. We could get Mike Evans 1,300 plus yards, 15 plus touchdowns. Mike Evans could absolutely be an animal this year. He's going to be a problem. Let's go.
You are very, very optimistic, my friend.
I love it. I love, you know how much I love Evans. He's one of my favorites.
I have Evans in a couple dynasty leagues, so I'm hoping it happens.
Yeah. I mean, I just think you're bitter about Tom Brady because what Patriots fan likes the fact that he's on a different team? Nobody. Everybody's like, he's going to suck. He's so bad. Oh, I can't believe he won this many championships for my team. And now he just left us.
Man, that's not cool. All right, Tyler, who do you, this is not a surprise for me.
No,
for me, at least to be.
There's a pattern. There's a pattern. Yeah. These are my guys. There's a pattern. Will Fuller, and you know, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. He's going to play 16 games, and he's the wide receiver one. And when he is the wide receiver that's on the field healthy for Deshaun Watson, even with Hopkins, you know what? He's dominant.
Yeah.
He is fantastic. So let's go. 16 games, Will Fuller. Please do this for me. Make-A-Wish Foundation, please.
Please. maybe.
Tyler, right, 16 games, I think you're right, though.
Let's move on to best rookie. Mine real quick. If you listen to this pod every week, you know I love Laviska Shenault. He's my best rookie. I think they're going to use him out of the backfield. They're going to use him in the slot. They're going to use him all over the place. And I think he's has an awesome, awesome rookie season. Would not be surprised to see a rookie season of 65 receptions, maybe 6 or 7 touchdowns, and just under 1,000 yards. Laviska, let's go. Tim, who you got?
My rookie wide receiver is the guy that broke Alshon's record at the University of South Carolina. Let's go Gamecocks. Bryan Edwards. You know, he might have been the second receiver the Raiders took, but I was saying after the draft, give it a year and he's going to be the Raiders wide receiver one. I think the guy just does everything at the wide receiver position well. Ruggs is an extremely talented wide receiver. He has crazy, crazy speed. Bryan Edwards has very good speed. He has extremely strong hands. He has an amazing catch radius. He runs very good routes. He does everything very good to amazing. So I think that this guy with all those tools in his toolbox could easily be the wide receiver one for the Raiders now with Williams out for the season. I'm telling you, Bryan Edwards is the absolute alpha for the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's go, Bryan Edwards. Let's do this.
I like that Bryan Edwards take. I think Tyler's going to have a take, though, that may blow doors off that one.
I mean, like a theme. It's a theme. I'm telling you, everything's a theme here. Justin Jefferson, and honestly, I'd put Justin Jefferson's 2020 up against any 2020 wide receiver that's a rookie. I mean, I'd put a bet down, a water bet down, that Justin Jefferson has a better rookie season than any wide receiver. He is showing out in camp.
I'll take that bet.
Any wide receiver?
Kirk Cousins.
Any wide receiver? I'll take that bet.
Any wide receiver.
I'm taking that bet.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. All right, water bet. You guys know the fantasy footballers water wheel of water.
You do understand your verbiage.
I understand the verbiage. But no, Justin Jefferson is going to have a phenomenal rookie year. He's got a great connection with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins speaks volumes about how great he is at route running, how he just has a knack for getting open in the end zone. Jefferson could lead the Vikings in touchdowns for receiving. And that's it's not saying much. Thielen, if he's healthy, I mean, Thielen was going to be my least to beast receiver. And then I thought about it. I'm like, why would I do that when I think Jefferson is going to destroy? Jefferson is my rookie receiver. And as you can tell, I'm all in.
Nice. So now that moves us to our MVP at the position. I've got Davante Adams. He's my wide receiver one in redraft this year. He's going to get a ton of targets. When he's on the field, he scores double-digit touchdowns. He's going to have 120 catches. I think Michael Thomas comes down to earth when it comes to receptions and everything. So I think that he's going to make Adams, with his touchdowns, he's going to be the wide receiver one this year. And your MVP, off to Tim.
My fantasy wide receiver MVP is none other than Mr. Kenny Golladay. Last year, almost 1,200 yards. He led the league in receiving touchdowns with 11. And he did that with street quarterbacks.
David Blur.
David Meh.
Just absolute back of the dumpster diving of quarterbacks here. I had his quarterback up here as the MVP with Matt Stafford just absolutely going bonkers. And if I think he's going to go bonkers, he has to have somebody to throw to. And Kenny Golladay is his number one target. Kenny Golladay, again, is going to put up big time numbers from the receiver position. I think we could see him get those 1,000 yards. I think he has the opportunity. If Evans don't do it, I think Golladay has the easiest route to go for the lead in touchdowns again at the wide receiver position. So give me Kenny Golladay all day.
Very nice. Tyler, if Josh is still in the chat and watching, this take is going to melt his face This take will give him pants feels. How's that?
Okay. And this is kind of against the grain for me, because I've never been big on this guy, but it's Odell Beckham Jr.
I was surprised.
And honestly, I just think he's going to get target after target after target. I do think he's finally healthy, but for how long? He's had trouble staying on the field. So hopefully he can play the whole entire 16, the Will Fuller dream. So Odell Beckham is my MVP, and it's just because I think he's still one of the better wide receivers in the league. And I still think he can dominate. And I do think Baker has a resurgent season, comes back from the grave, which he buried himself in because of so many damn commercials. But Odell Beckham Jr. is my MVP for receiver. And if you didn't buy cheap last year or in season, I think you're gonna kind of kick yourself a little bit, a little. I mean, I hate myself for trading for him, but I don't think I'll regret it.
All right, let's move it on to the tight end position. Least to beast, I've got Irv Smith Jr., the Minnesota Vikings. I think he's going to see a lot of targets. I think he could be their wide receiver too, when in terms of receptions on the team. I think he's that good. I think that, with no Diggs there and Jefferson replacing him and the way Irv Smith came on last year, I just think, a rookie wide receiver might be a little bit hard to acclimate. So I see Irv Smith Jr. in line for a lot of targets at the tight end position. So going from a guy that was just on your bench to, I think he's going to finish as a tight end one and be a starter. So least to beast, Irv Smith. Tim, you've got a guy I just drafted in the 11th round of my redraft league.
Yeah, least to beast. Evan Engram, this guy, I know the injury concerns are there for everybody. It's a guy that just kind of slips maybe a little farther than he should. So Tyler talked about Saquon having this monster year running back and could easily see that. But if the better Saquon's playing, those linebackers are going to continue to cheat every time. Every time they even kind of turn like they're going to hand it to Saquon or pitch it to Saquon. And every time those linebackers cheat up, this athletic stud of Evan Engram is getting behind them into that little open area right above the linebackers. And Danny Dimes is just going to drop them in. Bam. Evan Engram could see 70 plus catches. We're talking 850 yards. Let's get him up close to like the 8, 9, 10 touchdown range. And we're talking about an easy tight end one season out of Evan Engram. Again, the Will Fuller thing here. We're going to stay healthy. We're going to play 16 games. And Evan Engram could easily be a wide receiver one. No questions asked.
I love it. And going back to injuries, passion. My guy is TJ Hockenson. I mean, least the beast. Hockenson, I mean, I love Hockenson. Hockenson was my 101 at one point last year in rookie drafts and non-tight end premium. Like, he is a beast. He is the perfect tight end. If you wanted to make a tight end in today's NFL, it would be Hockenson. The only issue is you'd make him a little healthier. So that would probably be the recipe for a dominating tight end. George Kittle in the offseason said, hey, I know why this guy was drafted so high, because he's more talented than I am. Like, George Kittle saying that at George Kittle's little get-togethers for the tight ends is insane to say. Hockenson, if that foot injury heals, which we all hope it does, the news is that it is, that Hockenson is going to eat. I mean, I think we've all taken Hockenson as a tight end one for our teams in drafts. So yep. Hockenson, like, I had the luxury of having Hockenson, Blake Jarwin, and Waller. And the fact that Hockenson is, in my mind, a tight end one this year, I had the luxury of trading Engram to Doug in a league this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm more than happy to having Hockenson as my tight end one this year. And if we think Stafford is going to eat in this offense this year, which we all think he is, the weapons they have, Hockenson's going to play.
We got four Lions that are winning awards.
Exactly. Like, this is DHH Lions podcast. So
yeah, you ain't lying about that. Hey. So let's move on to best rookie and MVP. And I'm going to call you out, and all I want is a name with no analysis. Ready? So I've got best rookie is Cole Kmet. Tim?
Ugh.
Tyler?
Harrison Bryant.
All right. I like that.
On my notepad, I wrote Dalton Kane, but this tight end class is
bad. It's gross. All right.
MVP, I've got George Kittle. Tim?
Hockenson. I think he's going to be a stud.
Damn!
Woo-wee! Love it, man. Zach Ertz, just because they have nobody else.
ain't that the truth. All right, let's move it on to stats and stuff, where I give you the information for two mystery players, and then you guys have to decide which player you prefer, and if you think you know, you can guess the players after everyone has answered. I'll reveal at the end who they are and their ADPs. I know your guys are ready. Running back A, 275-plus carries, finished as a top 7 running back, 4 games with 2-plus rushing touchdowns, 6 games where he scored at least 1 touchdown. 4 of them would have been under 11 points per game. He seems he's tight end dependent enough, though, because he gets volume. Averaged almost 8 points per game in games when he did not score a touchdown, which was only 4 games. So there's the touchdown dependency. The last 6 games, this running back accumulated 46% of the carries, 58% of yards, and 63% of rushing touchdowns on the season, in the last 6 games of the season. All right, running back B. Oh, let's see. This running back accumulated a very nice number, 69% of the carries, 70% of the rushing yards, 94% of the rushing touchdowns, and 56% of the receptions for his team. Also finished as a top 7 running back. This running back saw 67 less carries but had 31 more receptions. And this running back still had over 225 carries. So do you guys have any guesses? First, we'll go to Tim. Which player would you pick? Running back A or running back B?
I'm going to go with running back A.
Okay. Tyler?
I'm going with B because I think Dave in the chat's right about A. He said Derrick Henry, and I think the receptions for me for running back B are bigger for me, and the fact that he had 31 more receptions, but he had 67 less carries.
So running back A is Derrick Henry. Running back B is not Austin Eckler.
Is it Alvin Kamara? No. 31 more receptions, I'm going to have to go Oh man. Let me see. Running back one. Was it Barkley?
No.
No. I don't think he was a running back in top seven.
He finished as a running back in the top
Zeke?
Seven. Zeke?
Nope. Okay, I'm out of
I believe he finished as running back three.
I have no idea.
It's Aaron Jones.
Oh.
Is player B.
I don't like either. So
fair enough. So that was our stats and stuff segment. Good job, boys. Let's move it out to Tyler, and then we're going to get out of here.
Actually, due to time, we are going to hold off on Dynasty Trade Calculator trade. But right. Antonio Gibson would have been it. And we'll save it for next week. But I want to get your guys' in a pigs league. I got offered Antonio Gibson, Deontay Johnson for CeeDee Lamb. This is a pigs league, so you get points per carry, a slight bump for that. Now, the rise of Antonio Gibson has risen so much, and Deontay Johnson has that hype. And CeeDee Lamb has, like, he's been a top seven rookie pick, even in a league like this. So where would you guys go? Doug, I know we talked off air, so I kind of got your idea. And you said you'd go more Deontay Johnson. You have faith in Deontay Johnson.
Big time.
And the fact
that Gibson... Where's your team stack up right now?
I mean, the team way, I have really good receivers still, a lot of young receivers. I have Jefferson. I have...
Are you a playoff team?
I am probably outside. I'm right in the middle. And I mean,
you know what?
Gibson's on my taxi.
I take this deal. I take Gibson and I take Deontay. We already sold a year from Johnson where he led the rookie
class. I'm getting CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, you're getting CeeDee Lamb.
Yes.
Yeah, I would take the two players personally. You know, we saw the year with Johnson. He led the rookie class in receptions. He does it with skill. He doesn't beat them with speed. Technique. He doesn't just beat the guys with size. He's using his routes, his footwork, you know, the little shimmies and shakes at the top of the stems to break open and create the separation. I think he's very talented. I think the upside for CeeDee Lamb is great, but
the upside for Gibson, I think, in a league where you get points per carry is almost equal to CeeDee Lamb in a league like this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like Gibson, yeah. I think Gibson alone right now, especially if you give it 2 weeks and they are using him in that passing back role, I think, he gets, let's say, 10 carries a week and then catches 6-7 passes. His value is really going to spike.
Yeah. No, and that's where we're at. That's a crazy aspect of it, and that's where we are. I mean, CeeDee, you hear that in camp, everything is lining up for him. He's kind of what was promoted in the draft. But Gibson, man, we talk about that drumbeat, and the whole offseason has been Gibson, Gibson, Gibson. AP talks about it, how they cut him because they want Gibson to be the man. So I agree.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up this week. Just want to give a shout out to Trophy Smack. Again, use that code.
Trophy Smack, DHH ring.
And then we've also got our Manscaped sponsoring the show this week, and you get 20% off with code DHH at manscaped.com, which is absolutely awesome. We're 4 days away from football. We're a week away from me sitting in front of the TV, droning out and watching Red Zone for 8 hours. I'll be in my element. Life will feel normal again for one day. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be back week two, correct, Tyler, with our new cadence?
We'll be back odd weeks.
Odd weeks. So we'll be there week one, and then we'll be back in week three.
You know what, everybody? Thanks for joining. This is Dynasty Happy Hour. This is Doug, Tim, Tyler. Come back next week, week one. We will be here.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.